There's this book I just read talking about McLuhan, where they had a religious, they had a conference at the religious part, the Catholic part of University of Toronto, and all these scholars, McLuhan scholars, came and gave their interpretation of McLuhan's faith. And the book is called Social Media Between Faith and Culture. I found every one of the papers riddled with mistakes. What is the problem with these scholars? Is it because they're trying to validate McLuhan as a Catholic? That gets them all
they're
wrong.
Having to make, they're having to make him be something that he never was. But that's the last thing he was a good, quote, good Catholic. But wait a minute, there's no such thing as a good Catholic. So that's what he'd say. He said, they're ridiculous. You bunch of damn sinners. You run around here, you fuck anything that moves, you kill anything that's not breathing, and then you come out here and ask for forgiveness from a God that doesn't even like you, and now you're going to sit here and say that we are Christian because we follow the all-sovereign Jesus and we have mass in mass. We've sinned so much in mass that we have to go to mass. So the mass is the only part of the entire religion that he even gave credibility to at all. Because
and why did
mass.
He do that? What was he doing when he had mass?
He was in mass. He was in mass. He thought it was in mass. It's where the Android meme has to be. Without mass, there is no meme.
Right. So he was putting on, engaging, and refuting and seducing the mass.
Scared to death.
And so I've always said that he put on the Catholicism. He wasn't really a Catholic. There was so much other stuff going on in him.
It wasn't
that he couldn't
the Catholicism. It wasn't Catholic. It was the Mass.
He's a Massist.
That was it.
He's not a Roman Catholic.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he's a Massist.
And he said as much if you listen to what he had to say, but you have these brilliant whore-banging motherfuckers that know everything, and they don't even know what they're saying, and yet now they're pronouncing that that's his. And this is why Pontius Pilate III loved Marshall McLuhan, and he should be a saint, just like Margarita. Oh, yeah, Margarita. Patron Margarita. Patron Margarita, that's the one. That's the one. That should be a saint too, because tequila makes your clothes fall off. It's a good day. But that's the whole point. And we're not trying to make any statement that's disparaging or outside of bounds of anything else. It's just ridiculous when you start trying. That'd be like Eric McLuhan trying to be president. He wouldn't want it. You wouldn't want
right.
it either. So it's a good day.
Right. So George Thompson was the only person who worked with Marshall, was around him a lot, that would agree with me that it's not that simple to call McLuhan a devout Catholic or a Catholic. Was
That's
George
right.
the one who experienced these, quote, contradictions about Marshall every day? He was one of the people who experienced it most, or did Marshall's brother, who had George's job before George, did Morris McLuhan see that in Marshall?
Morris knew it. Morris knew it. No one saw it. Marshall wouldn't let anybody see anything. You didn't see anything from Marshall McLuhan. You didn't. If it was cited, it was a damn lie. He'd tell you right quick it was.
So that's why Morris, he was a minister for like 25 years. That's why he left the church. He
why
saw
not?
Marshall had left too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a certain level of knowing that doesn't require those institutions.
It's almost like you go to Sunday school and then all of a sudden you know all the stories and then you don't have to go to Sunday school anymore. Okay.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with Sunday school. There's nothing wrong with Sunday school. Sometimes it gives you a balance and it lets your mind come into a place where you can embrace things and find out who God is and those kind of things. They don't know either, but it's a good place to try to discuss it. So if you're doing it for that purpose, that's good enough. You know, it's fine.
So Marshall had a lot of fear. You just said Carol
riddled,
was afraid a lot of
absolutely
things.
Absolutely riddled.
Right. Is that the same way you describe Carol having a lot of being afraid of a lot of things, or is hers more of a cautionary tale?
Hers is
practical.
Cautionary. Hers is a practical cautionary tale.
Right.
She's going to measure. She's afraid that she won't measure it correctly, so she's going to measure it one more time before she cuts.
Right, whereas Marshall actually was afraid. Now, where did he get that fear from?
He wouldn't cut from his mother.
Ah, his mother was quite an agitator. Agitated.
Yeah.
Ah.
And that's why, and Corinne spent her whole life trying to soothe this savage beast that was in and out and aboard, about, above, across, after, against, along, amid, among, you know, those prepositions.
And that affected the children.
Well, what's left of them, yes.
Okay, so that was very interesting. So let's see, who is a public intellectual? They call McLuhan one of the last public intellectuals. People don't pay attention to public intellectuals too much anymore, unless they're a rabble-rousing terrorist or something. But among the public intellectuals of the 20th century, who was not understood as quite knowing? And maybe had, well, you like Ronald Reagan. Now, there's a guy that many people would not agree that he knew anything. But you have praised Ronald Reagan, haven't you, in his role as acting president?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, aside from Reagan, is there a public intellectual, someone known to have a certain position and notoriety, that was more ascended than anybody else, but nobody would believe it if we told them? More ascended in the sense,
yes,
they understood the game. Who's an example of that?
The game? Donald John Trump, Sr.
Ah, that's the father.
No, that's him.
Oh, it's the guy running the show right, who's acting president right now, is a senior? I didn't know that. He's Donald Trump Sr.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that's a great, now there's a Zen paradox for people, because I hear more and more people just outraged. I think the Republican Party, they're refusing to vote for him if he gets nominated. You're saying that Donald Trump knows what he's
The whole wide world, the only people that are saying that are the ones that are afraid he won't win. Everybody's talking about this, but everybody else in the whole planet is saying, finally, 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 he made the president cry.
Is that what that crying was? I saw that in the headlines yesterday. It was caused by Donald,
yeah,
Trump. Okay.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So that's a good example. You've answered my question. He's a good modern public intellectual in the post-public intellectual world who has fully understanding his effects, preceding causes, interaction, potential. He's on top of his – he's in the zone? Is that what you're saying? He's in the zone.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with that controversial conclusion, I think we'll call it a day. Thank you very much.
You can know this by this quote. Donald Trump, a moron who must be isolated.
It sounds like he's got the Bob charisma.
He's got it right on down. He's got it right on down. And then he's going to get down to the polls, and they're going to swear him into the Oval Office, and he's just, are you fucking idiots? I would never be a president of a country that would elect me as president. I was running for king. I wasn't running for president. What are you, nuts? Why do you think I'm not moving from Trump Tower with good security into a smaller house in a bad neighborhood? You need to move Congress to the Upper East Side, and we'll see about it over there. It's good. And don't be messing up traffic any more than it is. All is very well in your world, and happily we play with you always.
Well, wait a minute. Did Trump learn from me? Has he been watching me?
But of course.
All right, thank you. Now we can end.
Yes, indeed. We are complete.
All right, thank you.